I say, about a week and a half back. It was a pretty sunset. I was up there in the mountains, standing with the fish pole in my hand, looking over a lake. And how sweet just to let the Word of God just speak to you. And you know that you can even be in the most nasty traffic here in the middle of this busy city, and the Lord can give you such speaking to. So it don't have to be, people say, oh yeah, I got to get up there and hear God. Well, let me tell you something. If you got to get up there to hear God, you're not listening to God, because he talks to you all the time and his sheep know his voice. But what hit my heart kind of at that moment, and just been thinking about it, was, let's think about the woman at the well. What would have become of her, and I'm confident her family, if Jesus would have had a heart like his disciples, even a heart like hers, which was, you're not supposed to have anything to do with me. What about that beautiful woman? And the reason I say beautiful, she was the sinner at Jesus' feet. At least that was the opinion of the Pharisee. Oh, if you knew what she was about, you wouldn't even let her touch you. Huh? What would have become of her, and I'm confident her family as well too, if Jesus would have discarded her for her failure? And it hit me that, and thinking of the testimony that's come through because of the grace of God that's with us, is it better not to allow one to attend for their past discretion? Or is it better to restore and to see his and her family filled with the Spirit, so thankful for a place that preaches the whole counsel of God and living and abounding alive in Christ? And I'm so thankful that that testimony abounds in this meeting. I'm so thankful that even the past, 4 or 5 years, God has graced us to see families that were discarded because of things. That because of the grace of God that's with you, went out to restore, encourage, be thankful, and oh, what the grace of God has done. Taking their children, encouraging them in the Word of God, seeing young people come forth as counselors, seeing their whole entire family get filled with the Holy Spirit. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Oh, you know it. See, the evidence of critical hearts given over to legality and condemnation, I'll tell you right now, they've abandoned the bridal message. Turn on over to Galatians chapter 2. Peter and Barnabas were faced with this situation. Matter of fact, there were a couple more that joined them too. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, this is Brother Paul saying, I, Paul, withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come in, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, it even gets better as you go on, because we know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. He's justified by the faith in Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful that that is so true. But think about this. There was Peter, there was James, there was Barnabas. They were carried away with this. They were carried away with the legalists. They were afraid to stand for the truth. I'll tell you one thing. Always be thankful for people that will take a stand for the truth. Thank the Lord that the spiritual will come forth. And I'll tell you what, they come in all shapes and sizes. And He'll call all of us at one time or another. Stand. Withstand. And having done all, stand. Don't waver and don't move. Just stand and watch the faithfulness, the mighty hand of God. All right? Brothers and sisters, we must be aware, as it says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. It says there, we were here this past Wednesday, beware of dogs. We know the dogs are just the evil, ungodly. Beware of evil workers. Well, those would be the evil ungodly, dressed, the wolves dressed in sheep's clothes. And then, here we go, beware of the concision. Now that concision is manifest much throughout the Word of God. No place like Galatians chapter 5, where the Word of God says to stand fast in the liberty wherewith you are called. Brothers and sisters, don't give in to this. He warns us of especially those demonic thoughts of self-righteousness that try to destroy lives in the name of legality. God forbid we would ever be those that would profess the sins of others when such a beam is so big in our eyes that there is no way we could see. And I believe that those that have gone this way truly have joined themselves, as the Word of God says, with the enemies of the cross. Turn on over one page, Philippians 3, verses 17 and 18. It says there, brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Yeah, we love that, don't we? It's so encouraging. But here's a warning right after that. That's not just after it, it's part of it. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. These were ones that at a time walked according to the Scriptures. These are ones that walked according, praise God, to the Spirit. But something happened. Word of God tells us the destruction when you go after what's in your belly. Any lust in your belly that you would go after can lead you this way. It's not only to your gain, it can even be what man would say to your glory as a man, as opposed to the glory being to God. And we've seen it. And God forbid that we would go that way. And I've seen people destroy their lives and try to take down others. Now, once again, we can't blame anybody else. We have a choice every day. We've been called to hardships. We've been called to fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. We're going to get up against things that are way beyond us. But God. And but God through the Scriptures knows that we have been called to these things. We have a divine appointment for God to show Himself faithful. For us not to go by sight and to walk by faith. And to believe Him. And to not be swayed by winds of doctrine or, again, the things that we feel. But yet what we know in the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that, once again, as we rejoice today, you know, you're going to have trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I know He has. Now, brothers and sisters, here we go. The Word of the Lord encourages us, and I would plead to all of us, including myself, by the grace of God, let's not let sin reign in our lives. If sin will reign in our life eventually, what's going to happen is it will defeat you from a life of a full overcomer. And it will. And once again, the full overcomer is who we were born to be. We're born kings, little lords of all, to rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ. And we know that it's through suffering together with Him in these frail bodies, these, as you will, things that are quite messy, but yet God chose individually and divinely for each and every one of us that we would go this way. Remember the rejoicing on Wednesday night? Never forget that. Never forget that. Forever rejoice. Always rejoice. With the vocation wherewith we are called, how could we not rejoice? Thank you, Lord. This is what we know. This is what we have. And never forget, that rejoicing is the full overcomer. It's not just going to sing praises and be thankful in all things if I like it. This is something by the grace of God to be thankful in, especially when you don't. Especially when things might be something that is indifferent to what you think. I think that's called our life, isn't it? Amen. But when a sin reigns and controls you, it'll rob the joy. That will be the evidence of it, and it'll be made manifest. It defeats the full overcomer that you truly are. Now, we speak of this many times, and what I want to visit on here for a moment, we all have thorns. We all have thorns. And those thorns, as the Word of God tells us, and let's be reminded of what they are in 2 Corinthians. Turn over there. Chapter 2, verse 12. See, I mean, chapter 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 7. It just burns me when the self-righteous try to explain this. Oh, you know, this is just something that, you know, you had bad eyesight. And I tell you what, I'm getting bad eyesight. I don't think that's my thorn. They're all thorns, don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you what, let's listen to what the Lord tells us. What a thorn is. Verse 7 here. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. And that's you. Because you have the abundance of revelation. You know that's you? This wasn't just Paul. This is you. Because you have received Paul's gospel. So here you are. Here I am. And lest we would be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to you, to me, a thorn in the flesh. What's that? The messenger of Satan. Did I read that right? The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, a messenger of Satan to buffet. This isn't disguised. This isn't. What's the only thing the messenger of Satan can bring? Amen. Temptation, lies, let's just call it what it is, sin. That's it. That's all he's going to bring. He's going to lay that thing on you. But here's the difference of a thorn and then a sin that reigns. The thorn by grace is battled at the throne of grace and mercy. That's the difference. And it's a huge difference. It's vital. It's shared with Him. Always shared with Him. It's shared with Him in worship and praise and groaning. And I'll tell you what, I love that verse. It says, a man's got to know how to possess his own vessel. Well, let me explain something to you. That's not self-control. That's putting yourself always at the throne of grace. That's how you know how to possess your own vessel. Because if you think that you can control anything, you are very wrong. And you are in the wrong place because you're not in the mind of Christ. Now, Sin reigning is different. It has a complete victory. It'll have a sway upon your life, and it will be 24/7. And only because we're not letting this precious message of the grace of God completely saturate us. How does that grace of God saturate us? We're given over to the Word of God. We're given over to gathering. We're given over to hearing. We're given over to studying. And by the way, which is the sword of the Spirit that defends our lives from giving over to the foe. I think I read about every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ in the Word of God. That was a choice that they had to make. They were faced with things time and time again beyond them. Things that came upon them, things that they brought upon them. It didn't matter to God, because you're the elect of God. What matters to God is, where are you at with it? What are you going to do with it? Brothers and sisters, we're about to see Jesus. We're about finished. That author and finishing of your faith is going to be there. He's going to author and finish your faith. But how are you going to let him finish it? I want a full joy, brother. And the only full joy there is in the Lord. In his word, in who he is and what he is, and understanding your life, your identity, everything of you is in Christ. Everything. And he loves you. I mean, is head over heels in love with you. Now, the real self-righteous, they'll hear what I just say, and they'll say, oh, that's just an excuse to let stuff go. Well, I'll tell you, that's a very wicked heart. It's a very self-righteous, ugly place. You better get back to the throne of grace to get that sin that's raining on you off your life. I have a lot of brethren that are there. And it grieves me. Because the only thing that comes from that, I have to tell you, it's ugly. Matter of fact, it's so ugly, the Lord said it was the most reputable thing to him were the dirty self-righteous rags that the lepers used to wipe off the scabs and the sores, as well as other things. But we let that rest on us, that self-righteousness. You'll never win God's best. You won't. You'll always be living in condemnation, in judgment, as opposed to abounding with the mind of Christ. And that's what I want to ask you on. Where is our meditation? The Word of God. And I always appreciated, Brother Hill, the good report, the lovely, the true. I think of how God has graced us, brothers and sisters. And I have to tell you, I talk to people every week in this meeting. It's amazing how the enemy will try to get you to just pick at something that's not lovely. To completely be consumed with something that is not a good report. When we have such good report in this place. When we have lovely that abounds in this place. And God help us, because I'll tell you what, that enemy is a liar, and you let him lie to you, and I'll tell you what, he'll keep lying to you. I'm going to ask you, what does the mind of Christ think about? Well, the mind of Christ thinks about lovely, the true, and the good report. I'm so thankful that our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ doesn't dwell upon unlovely things. Amen? Amen. Amen. See, God help us to be as those two sons of Noah. Not only did they cover it, they didn't even look at it. They didn't want to see it. They had a sweet daddy. I got a sweet brother and sister in the Lord. I don't want to look at that other stuff. Amen? Yeah. We all are battling. Matter of fact, always, aren't we? It comes. You think, I'm going to get a breather here. You just breathed in a big puff of exhaust. Because the next one just hit you. But we all have a good fight of faith, and you know what? It goes on all the time. And it does. That's the passion of the lover. Never quits. He's always about wanting the best for us. He does it all of our lives, and it only becomes more intense. You think as you kind of get older, it's going to back off. Ask these ones that are nearing 100 years old. It only gets hotter. And I think it's because God, as you go the way of the Lord, He expands your love. He expands your wisdom, your experience, all of these different things. And if you take it under the hand of God, I'll tell you one thing, it'll make you humble. It'll bring humility to you in such a mighty and wonderful, loving way. We can fool ourselves into thinking that we're helping, doing the right thing sometimes. Let the grace of God abound. Let the love of the Spirit just truly be like a geyser in our hearts. And I think as much as they see, as they grow on in those years, of all of the manifold temptation that's around them, what does your sweet mom say? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. See, now we're back to rejoicing, aren't we? What was rejoicing? Overcoming. It's all the same. It's all the same. You going to be a murmurer? I'm glad we don't have palms to hand out in here, so you have to go somewhere else. I refuse. It's not for us. It's not for us. Y'all already got your crown. Why would you want something else? And you know who gave that to you. And it's worth the fight of your life because it is the fight of your life. All right? Now, brothers and sisters, we all have the good fight of faith going on all the time because that's the way God made us, in need of grace always. And He told us, I've supplied all grace to you always, didn't He? For all things, to superabound. And He encourages us in mercy in everything. I love this. I was reading in Isaiah. Isn't that amazing how it just takes you all over the Word of God? But I was reading in Isaiah, in chapter 30, verse 18. This is such a good one. They're all good ones. It's marvelous. But listen to this. Isaiah 30, 18. And therefore will the Lord wait. Now, why is the Lord waiting? That He may be gracious unto you. Boy, am I thankful we got a patient God. I'm so thankful He ain't anxious. I'd have been left out a long time ago, but He's waiting. Oh, yes, He's waiting. Therefore will the Lord wait. Why? That He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. Isn't that beautiful? You know what exalts Him? To have mercy upon you. His mercy upon you exalts Him. His grace that's patient with you exalts Him. And notice this, after He says, and therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. How could that be? How could He be the God of judgment that's also still the God that's exalted one way, that He's gracious because He waits for you? And that He might have mercy upon you. Because that's all He's looking for. Do you understand that judgment seat of Christ again? The reward? What is your glory? What is your rejoicing? What is your thankfulness? Is it you? Is it the good works that he's performed through you? Or is it going to be like, God willing, this coming Wednesday night, where Brother Paul says, I count it all dung. He counted it all dung that he could be an encouraging pastor. He counted it all dung that he could have any of the opportunity for the things of Christ that he had. For one thing, for the excellency of the knowledge of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It wasn't about him. It was about Christ in him. It was about what the Lord would grow up fully in him. And yet we get so confused, so altered. Brothers and sisters, I have some news for you. We are the circumcision. It doesn't appear what we shall be, but I know what we is. I do, because the Bible tells us this. He assures us this. So isn't this marvelous? This God of judgment, as it says, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. Oh, man. He's waiting for me and I'm waiting for him. Well, that sounds like love to me. Oh, are you loving his mercy? Praise be to God. How wonderful. It's very clear, isn't it, what he loves and admires, brothers and sisters? His forgiveness and grace are upon the humble and the brokenhearted and the contrite spirit. If he's brought this to you, praise him for it. Stay there. Don't move. I mentioned that years back. And I'd say this, I've seen a man that they say has been so hurt and going through something that is amazing and all. And I'm not taking sides in any way, shape, or form. I'm just repeating one part of it. Because he was falsely accused. Well, let me tell you something. I'm beginning to see more and more what the Father saw with his Son. And let me tell you something. A daddy's heart for his son is far worse than anything you could ever imagine. You better know it. And I do. But I know it in the Word of God. And I've grieved with my Father. And looking away upon that sin that was upon his Son. Brothers and sisters, be strengthened to battle those things that seem to be plaguing you. He will turn them to your greatest treasure, I'll assure you. Because the Word of God tells us this. And it is impossible for our God to lie. Do you know that? Impossible. He cannot. He will turn them to our greatest treasure. As you see them truly as the thorn. As you see them as the thorn that keeps you infirm. And the power of Christ resting upon you. Amen. And as the Word of God tells us, we just have to believe. This thing thinks way too much. It just does. It's going to analyze. It's going to reason it out. And all this mind will ever do is get me more confused. It will. It will. Do you wonder why the Word of God says faith like a child? It just believes. Know it, reckon it, yield. Quick to believe. Thankful, praise God, in our hearts. And I'll tell you what, thankful for one another. Thankful for one another. Praise God, fight on. We have warriors in this place. Take note, but not just take note. By the grace of God, let their lives be a conduit to you. I was thankful the Lord woke me up some time ago to quit being the woe is me. My goodness, I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That woe is not a W-O-E, it's a W-H-O-A. Whoa. But that's who we are in our wonderful Lord. That's what we have in this. By the grace of God, let's go on to more living in love. And what that is more forgiving. And forgiving with forgetting. Amen? Because I'll tell you what, that's God's forgiveness. Always remember that. See, man's motto is, oh, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Are we justified or not? Whose mind is supposed to be reigning in you? There's no argument. Does his mind remember any iniquity? No, it doesn't. So, I'll tell you what. Those that live that way, the bin will be full of fruit. And I was thinking, full of fruit, even like the first fruits like him. Isn't that sweet? I praise him. I thank him that we're more than conquerors. He is a mighty God. He's for you. He's for you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Put on the helmet of salvation. And here it is. Believe the word of God. I thank God for these gardens. I call them your families that the Lord has given you. Hunker down in the truth with one another. Be thankful of how much God has graced you with. Be thankful for the abundance that we have in truth in our homes. You know, oftentimes we're thinking what we don't have. I think I've heard a song all my life, count your blessings. And I'll tell you what, they're innumerable because you're blessed with everything of the Lord's. Are we ready to win him? I pray we are. I really do think he's coming tonight. So, it's only one place to be. Let's be ready. Sure love you. And we thank the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.